Amen. If you will, take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 7. While you're turning there, we'll go ahead and release our volunteers and children to Children's Church. So thankful for what God's doing in our children through this ministry of our Children's Church and the volunteers that are investing in them. Well, we're walking through the book of Mark, and we're looking at Jesus, this servant Savior that has come. Jesus said that He didn't come to be served, but to serve. If we're going to be His disciples, we need to look at and to emulate and to have a heart that's dedicated to serving. Serving God by serving people and to be investing into the kingdom of God, be investing into people. Man, it's a struggle because we're selfish to the core. We like to do things the way we like to do them. We like for things to make sense, and we like things that are logical and are comfortable. I mean, we're creatures of comfort. We like things to be easy to understand. We like it to be comfortable, and we like service to be pleasant. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a struggle. I'm just being honest. But we're called to serve. And as God begins to change our heart and the Spirit of God begins to transform us, and as Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. When we get out of the way and we let Christ begin to live in and through us, then service becomes more natural. It becomes much easier. It becomes our nature, not second nature. It becomes who we are. Well, I'm just going to tell you, there are some things that Jesus does that just makes me scratch my head. I'm just going to be honest. And the passage we're looking at today is one of those passages, because you think, Jesus, you can do anything you want, any way you want, with anybody you want. So why did you choose to do it like this? And I hope today that we can look at this passage and God can begin to transform our understanding and transform our expectations and make us more usable for His kingdom. So if you will, turn with me to Mark chapter 7. We're going to begin in verse 31. Now, this is a kind of an obscure healing. It's one that if you're not careful when you're reading through Mark, that you'll just kind of read through it and just kind of blow right on by. But as I said earlier, this is a passage that I don't know that I've ever heard any preacher preach on. And to be honest, I've never preached on. Because it's one of those passages when you read it and you say, I don't know if I want to go there. I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to make any sense of this. Okay? So hopefully God will do that and I won't have to. All right? I've been praying for God's anointing and God's wisdom as I speak to this. So if you will stand with me, we'll read this account and then we'll kind of break it down and look at it. Beginning of verse 31, it says, again, he went out from the region of Tyre and came through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee within the region of Decapolis. And they brought him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty, and they implored him to lay his hands on him. And Jesus took him aside away from the crowd by himself and put his fingers into his ears, and spitting, he touched his tongue with the saliva. And looking up to heaven with a deep sigh, he said, Ephphatha, which is be opened. And his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was removed, and he began to speak plainly. And he gave them orders not to tell anyone. But the more he ordered them, the more widely they continued to proclaim it. And they were utterly astonished, saying, he has done all things well, and he makes even the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray today that as we look at this passage, this almost the temptation to just kind of pass right by this miracle rather than to focus on it and to try and understand it. God, it is a difficult passage. It is one that's hard for us to make sense of and to see why Jesus did what he did. But God, there's nothing that you do that's insignificant. There's nothing that Jesus has done that's unimportant. So God, I pray today, you would help us to see the relevance, the importance, the spiritual truths that are taught here. And God, grow us into more faithful disciples, ones who are willing to go the extra mile, ones who are willing to do what doesn't seem to make any sense, and to trust you completely. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now again, this is after Jesus has fed the 5,000. It's after Jesus had the conversation with the Pharisees about traditions and the heart of the law and the spirit of the law and what defiles a man. Now we kind of skipped over the Syrophoenician woman. If you're following along in the chapter, there's an interaction with a woman, and I chose to move to this one. And if you want to look at it and study that passage a little bit more thoroughly, then feel free to do so. But for time's sake, we're just kind of moving ahead. And this particular passage, it says that Jesus is going from Tyre through Sidon, and he winds up in Decapolis. Now, I don't know if you remember, a few weeks ago, we talked about the Gerasene demoniac. Remember him? When Jesus went across the ocean and he got out on the sea, on the shore, and immediately this man who was possessed by a demon called Legion, because there were many, and he came and he bowed down before him, and it says that Jesus cast out those demons, went into the swine, and they ran into the sea and drowned themselves, and the people came out and saw the man in his right mind, fully clothed, sitting beside Jesus, making sense, and they were scared to death. And asked Jesus to leave. This is that place. Okay? He's going back to Decapolis. He told that man when Jesus started to leave, he wanted to go with him. The demoniac did. This man who has been healed of the demons wanted to go with Jesus. No, you go back to your hometown. You go back to your city, to Decapolis, and you tell them how merciful God has been to you. And so he went and he did that. Now Jesus is coming back through the area. Now imagine the amazement. But also imagine the dread. How many pigs we're going to lose this time? Okay? What's going to happen now? But Jesus is passing through the area of Decapolis, and I don't want us to forget this because Jesus has been there before. He did this great miracle. They are amazed at what Jesus did, but it also scared them to death. But as he's going through, there's this one man, we don't know what village he was in. We don't know. He was just around the area of Decapolis. And so there's this man doesn't have a name. His home doesn't have a place. There's no real information given about this man other than he was deaf and mute. He couldn't hear and he couldn't speak. And his friends or his family comes. It says they brought him to Jesus. And they implored Jesus to lay his hands on him and to heal him. They had heard of the power of Jesus. They may have even witnessed the 200 hogs that was floating in the ocean where they drowned. They may have seen and heard from this man who was cleansed of the demons. They may have heard his testimony over and over and over again about this man, Jesus, who had healed him. So the claim, the fame of Jesus was in the area. And as Jesus passed through, they saw the opportunity for this one that they loved to be healed. For the brokenness of his life to be fixed. For the world to be opened up to him. Now, it's one thing not to be able to talk, but not to be able to hear. I mean, you can't have conversations with your family. You can't hear that I love you. You can't hear that shirt doesn't match those pants. You miss out so much. And this man has been missing out on life because he cannot communicate well with other people. He can't hear a conversation. He can't participate in a conversation. And his life is just difficult. And Jesus is coming along. So they bring him to Jesus and they ask Jesus, lay hands on him and heal him. Now, they know Jesus can do it because they know the testimony of the demoniac, the man who's been healed. I hate to keep calling him a demoniac because he's not a demoniac anymore. He's healed of it. They just don't give him a name. Okay? So this guy that's been healed, they've heard about Jesus. And so they bring him there and they just simply want Jesus to lay hands on the man and heal him. Just simple. Just lay hands on him and heal him. Well, Jesus decides to do something different. Now, this is where it kind of gets kind of crazy. This is where it just makes me scratch my head. This is where it just you just got to wonder, Jesus, why did you do it this way? When all you had to do is speak it, and the man would be healed. You could have just laid your hands on his forehead and be healed. You could do any way you want to. You could cause this impediment, speech impediment, the deafness in his ear. You could have done it any way you wanted to. But Jesus chooses to do it one of the strangest ways I've ever heard of in my life. He pulls the guy aside, takes him away from the crowd. And I don't know why he takes him away from the crowd other than the fact that he is, it may be symbolizing where when he calls us, when he heals us of our spiritual deafness and our spiritual brokenness, that he calls us out of the crowd. He calls us to be separate. That could be why he breaks him off to the side and does it alone. It may be that he doesn't want people there just oohing and aahing over what he's going to do. I don't understand why he pulls him to the side, but he does. He pulls him off the side. And it says that Jesus, now close your eyes for just a second, and I want you to use your imagination. Think you're the guy that's deaf and can't talk. And you don't understand who this guy is. You haven't heard the stories. You just know that your family's brought you to him. And maybe they've communicated, this guy can heal you. So you're standing there, and Jesus is there, and he sticks his fingers in your ears. I don't know about you. Have you ever had anybody walk up behind you and stick their fingers in your ears? That's just kind of weird you out. Especially if they lick it before they stick it in. Well, Jesus does something even worse than that. He sticks his finger in his ears, but then it says he gets some spit on his finger and he touches the man's tongue. He doesn't stick a wet finger in his ear. He sticks a wet finger in his mouth. Why? I mean, if a wet willy weirds you out, imagine that. Again, put yourself in this cat's position. This man that you don't know just stuck his fingers in your ear. Now he spit on his finger and he touches your tongue. That's got to be gross. I'm just being real. Why would Jesus do that? I'm going to tell you, I don't have any definite answers. But I want us to think about possibilities, okay? Jesus has called this man away from the crowd, and he's brought him there. And the problem he has physically is a very much a manifestation of the problem that all of us have spiritually. He can't hear. And see, the problem for all of us spiritually is we can't hear God unless God opens our ears. Jesus sticks his finger in this man's ear. It could be, the symbolism could be that it's by the grace of God, the touch of God that opens the ears, the deaf ears, the spiritual ears of humanity. That he has to remove the noise of the world. It's his Holy Spirit that begins to touch our ears and touch our minds to even enable us to hear the voice of God. Think about how many times you've come and you've sat in church. You've sat under preaching. And man, I can remember before I was saved. Man, I'd come to church and I'd fidget and I'd want to sit with this girl or that girl. And I'd be at church for all kinds of reasons. And man, I'd sit through all kinds of sermons and I'd just right over my head, just like I didn't even hear them. You ever been there? Just sitting there before you were saved, man, your mom and dad may have brought you to church and you're just sitting there and you're just wishing this would hurry up and get over with so you could go outside and play or you could go see your girlfriend or whatever you're going to do, go skiing, go do whatever that you couldn't do because you're at church. And man, you just don't hear a word. But then all of a sudden, one day, one night, one moment, you're sitting there and all of a sudden your ears open. And you hear the message as if it was the first time you ever heard a preacher preach the gospel. And in that moment, your spiritual ears are opened and you can hear the voice of God saying, "You are a sinner and you need a Savior." You may have heard that sermon preached. You may have heard the gospel 1,000 times, but just suddenly in that moment, it's like you're hearing it for the first time. Maybe it's you're hearing that I love you and you matter to me. But there is a grace of God that touches our ears and opens our ears to the truth of God's word. And so I think possibly Jesus brings this guy aside as he's calling him out of the crowd to kind of symbolize he calls us out of the world, to be separate, to be in the world but not of the world. And then he opens his ears. He sticks his finger in his ears. It's by the grace of God, the power of God that opens our spiritual ears to hear the gospel. And he touches this man's ears. Then the really strange part where it says he touches the man's tongue with his saliva. I don't know if he spits on his hand. I don't know how much saliva was on there. This is just what guys think about. Did he spit? Big glob? Touch his tongue? I don't know. But he's standing there, and this man, Jesus, takes his saliva, puts it in his mouth. He takes part of him and imparts to him. He takes his word and puts it in his mouth. He takes his word and instills it in his heart. See, that's a spiritual picture of us. See, we're lost. We're living the best we can. We're living for ourselves. We're living according to our own wisdom and our own understanding. And when God opens up our spiritual ears and we can hear the gospel for the first time, he opens it up and he puts part of him. He puts his spirit into us. He puts his word into our hearts. It's his word that changes us. It's his gospel. It's his truth that sanctifies us. And I think when Jesus was doing that, he was symbolizing, he's putting my words, the word of God, into the heart of that man. He's putting the word of God into the mouth of that man. He's now able to praise God. He's now able to acknowledge God, which he couldn't do before. Jesus says, "No one comes to me unless the Father draws him." That no one is saved without the conviction of the Holy Spirit. See, the faith, the opening up of our understanding, the opening up of our heart is all an act of grace of God. Unless God opens the ears, we will not hear. Unless God opens our eyes, spiritual eyes, we can't see the truth. Unless God opens our mouth, we can't praise God. We can't speak the truth of God. It's distasteful to us. It's hateful to us. It's against every part of our nature. That's why you see so many in the world today who are spiritually deaf, and instead of hearing the gospel and it being a good news to them, it's revolting to them. It's elementary to them. It's ridiculous to them. You mean you believe that one man died for you? And that because he died, you can be saved and you can be right with God? That just doesn't make any sense. The gospel is foolishness to those that are perishing, but is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. See, God has to open our spiritual ears so that we can believe the gospel, so we can hear the gospel and believe the gospel. He has to open our spiritual mouth and our spiritual heart so that we can praise God, so that we can speak the truth of God. To us, the word of God is precious. It is life-giving. It is freeing. It is powerful. It is wonderful. It is gorgeous. The word of God is wonderful to those who believe. But to a lost and dying world, the word of God is hate speech. It is limiting. It is frustrating. It is condemning. See, it's the touch of God, the Holy Spirit of God, that opens up our spiritual ears and our spiritual mouth. It opens our spiritual palate. For now, rather than the word of God being bitter to us, it is such a sweet savor. Instead of it being an old wives' tale, it is It is the truth that never changes. And instead of it being binding and limiting, it is freeing and encouraging. See, when Jesus touches us and opens our ears and opens our mouths, spiritually speaking, it changes everything about us. And imagine this man who has never been able to hear and never been able to speak, all of a sudden can hear the voice of his family, can speak. It says that the speech impediment was removed and he could speak plainly. Now, that's a miracle in and of itself. You've never heard speech, you never heard language, but yet as soon as your ears are open, you can speak plainly. Imagine how his world changed at that moment. Not just the fact that Jesus did it, and that is, and I'm not trying to diminish that, but just on a purely natural level, physical level, relational level, imagine how much his life changed. His whole world was transformed at that moment. See, that's the truth. When the grace of God touches our ears and we can hear the gospel for the first time, when the Word of God, the Spirit of God changes the truth of God from something to be dreaded and to be hated to something that is such a sweet savor to our tongue and to our heart, when the Holy Spirit of God changes those things, it changes everything about our life. It radically transforms everything about us. It makes our relationship so much better. Imagine how much better relationship he can have with his family. Now, he can actually talk to them. They can talk to him. They can carry on a conversation they never were able to do before. He could tell them what he liked and what he don't like. I can't believe y'all been making me do this all my life, and I hate it. It's been driving me nuts, but I couldn't tell you. It changed everything. But see, that's what happens spiritually. When God opens our ears, and changes the taste of our palate, it changes our whole life. It changes every relationship we have. It changes every purpose we have. It changes every experience we have. It changes everything about our life when the grace of God enters into our hearts. Now, Jesus drew this man away from the crowd. He changed his heart. He changed his mind, changed his speech, changed everything about him. He opened up a whole world to him. But I also think that it now enabled him, I think the symbolizing part of the ears and the mouth, he could have touched a lot of different places, his heart, you could touch his mind, whatever. But it's what we hear and what we focus on that changes our heart. And when our heart is changed, our speech changes. Paul was writing to the church at Rome, and he wrote in Romans chapter 10 about what it means to be different and the importance of the gospel. And he says in Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 9, it says, If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the gospel. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But then look at verse 14. How then will they call on him who they've not believed? But how will they believe if they haven't heard? And how can they hear if there's not a preacher? See, Jesus touched this man's ears to open them up so he could hear the natural world, but spiritually he touches our ears so that we can hear the gospel. And that gospel can then be believed in our hearts. and begin to change our heart. And then with that changed heart, we live differently from the heart we live in righteousness. And with our mouth, we confess Jesus as Lord. We begin to share the gospel. We have a different way of speaking. We have something different to talk about. So Jesus has opened his ears so he can hear, so his heart can be changed, so his mouth can then speak and confess Jesus. Well, spiritually, that's the gospel for us. That's what Jesus does for us. He touches our spiritual ears and opens them up, and the gospel becomes alive, and the gospel then is able to penetrate our heart, to change our heart, so that we can believe the truth of who Jesus is. But see, oftentimes that's where we stop. He changes our heart so that we can live different. But not just to live different. People are going to see people living in people, and we use this phrase all the time, your life may be the only Bible anybody reads. That's absolutely true. But if you don't share the gospel, they're just going to think you're just another good person. How are they going to believe if they don't hear the truth? How are they going to believe without a preacher? That's just simply one who proclaims, not necessarily me, okay? If you're saved, you're to be a preacher, a proclaimer of the gospel, one who tells the truth about God. So I think this example, this miracle that Jesus did, this seems so insignificant and kind of blows your mind when you just read through it and get kind of grossed out if you really stop and think about it. It's the truth of our spiritual condition and what Jesus does. But also I think, it's an example of what real faith is. Now, Brother Neil, why do you say that? Well, if you're there, again, put yourself in his position. He's deaf. He can't talk. This stranger just sticks both ears in your finger, or fingers in your ears, spits on his finger, and is wanting to reach out and touch your tongue. I don't care who you are. I don't care when you live. That's gross. And it doesn't make any sense. Why you want to spit in my mouth? But faith says, I don't understand it, but here you go. See, again, We like to understand things. We like things that are comfortable. We like things that fit into our little box of normalcy. And we like a God who functions within our little box of normalcy. And see, faith says, sir, I don't understand why you're wanting to do this. I don't understand why you're wanting me to do this. But I trust you enough to do it anyway. That's faith. And see, if we're gonna be disciples of Jesus, we can't let logic and comfort determine what we allow Jesus to do, or we allow Jesus to use us to do. Faith says, I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me. It is not comfortable what you're asking me to do. And to be honest, it's just kind of gross. But Jesus, because you said do it, and I know your heart, I know your history, I'm going to do it. That's faith. I think all of this small interaction, this one miracle that's talked about in all this trip from Sidon to Jerusalem, to the Sea of Galilee to go to Jerusalem, this one thing describes the spiritual condition and what it means to be saved. I'm here to ask you today, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've been sitting in sermons for a long time, and nothing has ever really made any sense, but maybe today the lights come on. I want you to know that that's the Holy Spirit of God speaking to your heart and saying, I love you. I died for you. Surrender your heart to me today. Now, it may not make any sense to you. It may seem kind of simplistic. It may seem kind of nonsensical. But just trust Him. Give Him your heart. Let Him change your world. He'll radically transform every relationship you have. He'll radically transform every behavior you have. He'll radically transform your life from the inside out. And everything that He does will be for His glory and for your good. It don't mean it'll be easy. Don't mean it'll be comfortable. It don't mean it'll make a lot of sense all the time. But because of who He is and His history that we know about in the lives of the people in the Bible and the lives of the people sitting in this room, we tell you, you can trust Him. Surrender your life to Him. Let Him change your life. Church, there's a word in here for us too. Sometimes we need to go to the ear, nose, and throat doctor. Sometimes we get an obstruction in our ears. And voices get kind of muddled and sounds get diminished. And sometimes it gets so bad you just can't even hear anymore because of the mess that's got stuck in your ear. Many of you know I had some ear problems back this summer and went to the doctor. And as I was in the doctor in Hattiesburg, went to a specialist, almost everybody that came in, as I was sitting in my little exam room, they were talking to them, well, we're going to go in here and wash out your ears. Because they had gotten such a buildup of wax and dirt and junk. They didn't take care of their ears. They couldn't hear well anymore. So they had to get it all cleaned out. Christian, sometimes our spiritual ears get junked up. And they get cluttered up with the voices of the world and the mess of the world and the icky wax and the dirt and the crud of the world. And the voice of God becomes quieter and quieter. We can't hear it as well as we used to, and sometimes it just is not even audible at all. Maybe today you need to let God do a little cleaning on your ears spiritually. Say, God, I haven't heard from you. When I read your word, it doesn't jump out. It doesn't speak to me like it used to. It doesn't seem alive like it used to be. And I know it's not your word's problem. It's got to be a problem with my spiritual ears. So God, I want you to inspect my ears today. I want you to check on the things I'm listening to. Check on the things that are blocking out your voice. And God, remove them. I give you permission to whatever it is to remove it. See, when you go to the ear doctor and he says, oh, you got an obstruction in your ear, I need you to clean it. Do you ask him, well, what is it? And just take a little bit of this out and a little bit of that out, but leave the rest of it, it's okay. No, you want it all out. So God, whatever it is, remove it. Maybe today it's a matter of the heart. And maybe it's a speech problem you have. Maybe you're just getting kind of negative because you're not hearing the voice of God. The Word of God's not really alive in your heart anymore. And you just, this is from my experience. When that starts happening to me, I become more and more negative. Things become worse and worse. People become worse and worse. And I become a lot more irritable about things. And I begin to gripe a little more. I begin to fuss a little more. I begin to be a little less encouraging. Maybe it's a speech problem. That you need to ask God to just touch your tongue. Change the way you're talking. Change the way you see the world. And help you share the gospel, the good news more, instead of focusing on the bad news. I don't know what it is, but all of us, I think, can probably find some aspect of this man's spiritual condition in us. And God wants to open your ears. Reach down to your heart. And change what you talk about. Let the gospel become the good news again. We're going to spend a few minutes just praying, and I pray that God, I've been praying God would do this in my own heart, and I pray that's your desire too. But as our instrumentalists come and we get ready to sing, I just want you to close your eyes for a minute and do just a little bit of a spiritual assessment. Let God do it, guide you through it.